Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman.
Championship golfer Phil Mickelson caught up in an insider trading scandal involving high-rolling sports gambler William Walters and the former chairman of Dean Foods, Thomas Davis.
Davis, who's on the board of Dean, tells Walters many, many times over and over very specific inside information.
What happened here? And why Phil Mickelson hasn't been charged criminally here? He just has to pay back the money?
Golfing giant Phil Mickelson is caught up in an insider trading scandal that involves the nation's largest milk producer and a well-known Las Vegas gambler. And while the three-time winner of the Masters wasn't charged, he has agreed to pay back the nearly $1 million he earned after buying shares of Dean Foods, thanks to a stock tip he got from that gambler, William Walters. But why wasn't Mickelson charged? If he benefited from insider knowledge, isn't that insider trading? Well, it turns out these days what you and I might think of as illegal activity on Wall Street isn't. Well, joining me is Sheila Kohatkar with Bloomberg Businessweek, who just wrote about this case in this week's magazine, and John Coffey, a professor at Columbia Law School and an expert in securities law. And Sheila, can you just review for me the details of this case?
Well, to some extent, this is a classic insider trading case where you have a board member of Dean Foods, you have a friend, this high-stakes gambler, Billy Walters. The Dean Foods board member owes money, allegedly, to Walters. And the government has claimed that, you know, this Dean Foods insider, this board member, told Walters about things that were going to occur with Dean Foods that were going to cause the stock price to go up before they happened. And Walters, in turn, is alleged to have gone and made millions of dollars trading Dean Foods stock. And to complicate matters a little further, the government has also alleged in its papers filed last week that, Walters went and told some of this information or perhaps shared the details of these stock tips with the celebrity golfer Phil Mickelson, who obtained profits that are connected to criminal activity, even though he himself is not accused of being doing anything that's criminal.
Professor Coffey, why wouldn't Mickelson have been charged in something like this?
Remember that in a criminal case, the government has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, and they have to prove this new critical element. Based on a 2014 decision called the Newman case, you have to show that the tippee knew that the tipper gave this information to the original tippee in return for a personal benefit. That's the critical new element. And once information goes down the informational chain to the second, third, or fourth remote tippee, it's unlikely that information will pass down the chain. In fact, this new rule makes ignorance bliss. You don't want to know exactly how the tippee knew this, because if you're smart, you'll know you have immunity. You can't be held liable. And that's just too simple and too safe. And in the world of Wall Street, where there can develop favor banks in which everybody contributes information, expecting they'll be repaid in the future, it's beyond the capacity of the government or the SEC to be able to show that element.
It's important to remember that Wall Street sort of functions on the back of rumors every single day. So all day long on trading floors across the world, people are getting instant messages and calls and IMs saying, hey, I hear this is going to happen today. I hear this stock is hot.
Hey, I heard about this. Why don't you buy this stock?
Exactly. There's a whisper number. You know, Dell's whisper number is going to be X. You should go long. You should short it. So a lot of traders are out there just swimming in all this information. But what the government has tried to prove over these cases over the last few years is that inside information, sort of real actionable stock moving information, is being handed between traders, almost like a little favor. You know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. And they're kind of sharing this and they're building these little circles of insider trading. And the government really tried to crack down on this. And in fact, what's happened is the courts have suggested that the government went too far in trying to prosecute that kind of
trading. So it sounds, so unless you can prove, you know, quid pro quo, really, at a very basic level, it is very hard to prosecute, or at least right now, it is becoming much more difficult to prosecute insider trading cases.
Well, let's just look at the numbers on this. Mr. Behara, the U.S. attorney in New York, won something like 80 insider trading convictions. These were litigated cases or pleas of guilty. Of those 80, 14 now have been overturned because this new decision, the Newman case, requires their reversal. That's an extraordinary rate of reversal on appeal, and it won't stop there.
So defense lawyers might argue on behalf of their clients that it's really important for the line to be really clear. So if you're a guy in an office and you have six analysts working for you at your hedge fund, There has to be a really clear way for you to know if they come and report back to you something they're hearing or something they're feeling really confident about. How are you supposed to know that it's going to possibly land you in jail if you trade on that? And that was essentially what the defense lawyers in some of these cases were arguing. They were
saying, and succeeded in making that argument.
They succeeded, and they convinced this appeals court that that actually was not clear enough. And so the courts have really tightened up the definition, and they have said, you need to know, if you are sort of getting this information second, third, fourth hand, you need to know that the original source of the information inside the company got something in return. And so it really leaves the bosses running these funds in a much safer position, and they're often the ones making all the money, and the minions who are going out and getting the information and bringing it back are a little more vulnerable. And so that's sort of what's happened. It's insulated this outer layer of traders.
Sheila, do you think this just reinforces the idea that the rest of us have, that the stock market is really rigged and it's an insider's game? Like, why bother to even try and invest?
At the press conference where this case was announced, everyone in the room brought this up. What does this say to the American public that the celebrity in this case did not get charged? And it was Mickelson in this case. But often, yes, it's the little guy who's taking the fall. And I think the public is feeling a little bit cynical about the way Wall Street crime is handled. And this is probably not going to help too much.
All of this can be changed by legislation. Congress could act tomorrow to eliminate this personal benefit rule. But Congress has been fairly dysfunctional recently, and it would require pretty strong support from all quarters before we can get legislation through Congress.
So what's the future?
Well, we have a Supreme Court decision coming up in the fall. The Supreme Court has taken a much simpler case involving only a get of information among family members. One brother told another brother who told their brother-in-law, and they all knew each other, and they all knew what was going on. I suspect they'll uphold that conviction. But upholding that conviction doesn't address the more nuanced problems. Personally, I believe most of Wall Street is honest, but there are clearly those making huge dollars. These are not small-timers, and some people out there are ripping off the system.
Well, Professor John Coffey at Columbia Law School and Sheila Kahatkar at Bloomberg Businessweek, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.